Now we're moving to the message part of our morning right now. And we're continuing on in our series. It's called Her Story Will Be Told. We're looking at inspiring stories of women in the Bible who perhaps don't get as much airtime as others, but they are mightily used by God. And I'm excited to bring a message today on Miriam. Miriam might be someone you've heard about, or maybe not. I suspect you've definitely heard about Moses, but maybe not as much about Miriam, unless you're like me and watched The Prince of Egypt a lot as a child. Now, who was Miriam? Let me tell you a little bit about her. We're going to be jumping into Exodus chapter 15, which is the second book of the Bible, a little bit later on. If you would like to get that ready, you can follow along on your phones or grab yourself your real page Bible. But Miriam, she was the older sister of Aaron and of Moses. She was an Israelite. She was one of the leaders of the Israelites, in fact, way back when Pharaoh was letting them go from slavery. And she had a really big part to play in the Exodus, which is the book that we are about to open. Something really interesting that I found about Miriam is that she was a single lady. She was a single woman. She was unmarried and remained unmarried in a time where female celibacy was not a consecrated thing. That means that it wasn't a holy or a blessed thing. In fact, the Israelite culture was so very patriarchal that a woman's place was largely in the home as a wife and bearing children. And that was actually something that was blessed by God. It was a lifestyle that God specifically blessed. So it's quite significant that she was single and remained single. And one commentary that I read said this. It says that Miriam remained in single blessedness all of her days. And I thought to myself, I don't know that everyone would count being single as being a very blessed life. But this is what she was, and it's pretty remarkable. Miriam herself was a prophet, and her prophetic gift was in singing and in the playing of musical instruments like this one I have here, which is a tambourine, or maybe your translation might say a timbrel. They are essentially the same thing. This is, of course, a very modern version of the timbrel. So let's open our Bibles now to Exodus chapter 15. We're going to read from verses 20 to 21. And here we go. It says, "Then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister," that's important, "took a tambourine and led all the women as they played their tambourines and danced. And Miriam sang this song. She sang, 'Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. He has hurled both horse and rider into the sea.'" This is, of course, right after God parted the Red Sea, and in the middle of all of that, he destroyed all of the horses and riders, which is the Egyptians and their chariots, into the sea. Now, this is the only time that Miriam is referred to as a prophet in the Bible, and it's actually not unusual for women to have been prophets, particularly in the Old Testament here. There was Deborah, who we'll be hearing about in a couple of weeks in Judges chapter 4. And there was another lady called Huldah, who appears in 2 Kings 22. And interestingly here, Miriam is only mentioned as Aaron's sister, although we know that she was actually also Moses' sister. So that's really interesting, and we'll find out why later on. And Miriam has actually already appeared in the Bible before now. This is just actually the first time that she's mentioned by name. She appears in Exodus chapter 2, but she's referred to as the baby's sister. If you remember the story from perhaps Sunday school days where Moses' mum was hiding him in the reeds, and what Miriam did is she stood guard while Moses' mum was hiding him away, because this was the time when Pharaoh said that all firstborn boys would have to be executed. So his mum hid him for as long as possible, but when he got too big, basically, she hid him in some reeds. And what Miriam does is, she's quite bold, actually. In this story in Exodus 2, Pharaoh's daughter finds Moses in the reeds. And what does Miriam do? She, a mere 12-year-old, says, "Would you like me to go and find a Hebrew woman to nurse the baby?" She speaks up, which is pretty amazing for a 12-year-old. And she actually goes and gets, you know, Moses' real mum to go and nurse him, which then she gets paid to do, which is really interesting. Imagine being paid to nurse your own child. That'd be pretty amazing. But she didn't know. Pharaoh's daughter didn't know that this was actually Moses' proper real mum. And Miriam is actually responsible for preserving Moses' life. And he would, as we know, he becomes this great leader. But according to this passage in Exodus 15, it only says that she's Aaron's sister. She doesn't actually rank with Moses. And that will become more clear as we go on. So Miriam is a prophet, and her prophetic gift is played out in her singing. She led the Israelites in praise. She's like one of the first worship leaders in the Bible, which is awesome. And this passage in Exodus 15, you know, we're just focusing on the last couple of verses here. But this whole passage is referred to as Moses and Miriam's song. And it's essentially the first psalm that we find recorded in the scriptures. Perhaps you can go back and read that a little bit after we finish today. It's an amazing story of God delivering the Israelites. And it's essentially this beautiful song about what he's done. A song of praise and worship to God for what he's done for the Israelites. And so Miriam's prophetic gift took the form of exuberant worship and praise. And she basically just knew that everyone would be a bit happier if they marched and if they walked in the wilderness. And they sang while they did that. And her song was one of cheer, full of the memory of what God had done and accomplished for his people. She was, as we could tell, a woman of great influence. She had great influence in her sphere as a prophet and as a leader of the praises of Israel, which is particularly remarkable because she is a single woman in a sea of married women and their children. And all the single ladies said, whoop! She was remarkable. She was notable. And it's actually really significant that she's mentioned by name in the way that she is in the Bible. But there's something else. Miriam's name literally means, the translation of her name literally means bitterness. It comes from the same root as Mary. And it appears that for Miriam, her position wasn't enough for her. And the next time that she's mentioned in Numbers chapter 12, we see that her fate was one of extreme bitterness and jealousy. Let's go to Numbers chapter 12. And I'm going to read all of this. Perhaps you can follow along wherever you are. Numbers 12, while they were at Hazeroth, Miriam and Aaron criticized Moses because he'd married a Cushite woman. They said, "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Hasn't he spoken through us too?" But the Lord heard them. Now Moses was very humble, more humble than any other person on the earth. So immediately the Lord called to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam and said, "Go out to the tabernacle, all three of you." You can imagine he's got his scary dad voice on at this moment in time. So the three of them went to the tabernacle. Then the Lord descended in the pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tabernacle. "Aaron and Miriam," he called, and they stepped forward. And the Lord said to them, "Now listen to what I say. If there were prophets among you, I, the Lord, would reveal myself in visions. I would speak to them in dreams, but not with my servant Moses. Of all my house, he is the one I trust. I speak to him face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the Lord as he is. So why were you not afraid to criticize my servant Moses? The Lord was very angry with them, and he departed. As the cloud moved from above the tabernacle, there stood Miriam, her skin as white as snow from leprosy. When Aaron saw what had happened to her, he cried out to Moses, "Oh, my master, please don't punish us for this sin we've so foolishly committed. Don't let her be like a stillborn baby already decayed at birth." So Moses cried out to the Lord, "Oh God, I beg you, please heal her." But the Lord said to Moses, "If her father had done nothing more than spit in her face, wouldn't she be defiled for 7 days? So keep her outside the camp for 7 days, and after that she may be accepted back, or she may be healed." So Miriam was kept outside the camp for 7 days, and the people waited until she was brought back before they traveled again. Now, this is a little bit problematic and a little bit difficult to stomach, because we're talking about inspiring women here, right? We want to be inspired by them. And then here we go, Miriam goes and does this. What do we do with this? Why has this happened? She's criticized Moses, and God has punished her pretty severely because of it. And this is something that I wrestled with a lot as I was preparing for today, because Miriam, while she had all of this status and everything, she, most of what it says in the Bible about her is actually kind of bad. It highlights this really big mistake that she made. But as I kind of thought about it and did a little bit of research, and what I came to realize is that the reason why this big mistake is recorded in the Bible is because she was so important. It's because she was so important. See, this is Miriam. She preserved the life of the helpless infant who became the great Moses. She made it possible for Moses' true mother to become his nurse, and she led the singing of the first psalm we find recorded in the scriptures in Exodus 15. So it's actually because she's so important that this has happened, that this has been recorded in the scriptures. And this is where her name comes in: bitterness, jealousy. Miriam has become jealous of Moses' position and his special relationship with God. I mean, it says there that the Lord speaks to him clearly, face to face, and he sees the Lord as he is. What an incredible relationship they did have. And Miriam decides that she is jealous of it. And so much so that she speaks against him and criticizes him for the wife that he has chosen. But a lot of commentators say that this is actually just a sidebar. It's not what she's actually concerned about. It's not what she's really worried about. She just sort of threw that in there for good measure, I think. But she's actually really just jealous of Moses' prophetic gift and his special relationship with God. And she wanted that for herself. And her name actually comes first here. It says Miriam and Aaron criticized Moses, and that's significant. Because the fact that she got leprosy and Aaron didn't suggests that she is the leader of this. She's the instigator. She's the one going, "Hey, I'm not very happy with this. I'm going to challenge Moses." And what does God do? God demands a time of public shame for Miriam and grants her healing only after that. I think it's because he couldn't treat her any differently to anyone else. This is quite a grave sin that she's committed. But someone else who, you know, her father would have spit in their face, would have been gone for 7 days. So he has to do the same for her. But she was allowed back in the camp afterwards. And some scholars say that because of this big mistake that she's made, she actually loses her prophetic gift after this. So, what can we learn from Miriam? What is there for us to learn? Because it's clear that she's important, but it's also clear that she's made a really big boo-boo. There's a really big mistake. See, because Miriam was gifted, she was talented, she was called, she was respected, She had status in the community far more than she should have been afforded because she was a woman, because of the product of her time. She was significant, and even in Micah 6 verse 4, she's listed with Moses and Aaron as being one of the leaders of the Israelites. But she decided that wasn't enough for her. She became jealous. She was bitter. And that led to her ruin. And there's one big learning for us from this passage, from Miriam's story. And if you're writing anything down, this is the first thing I want you to write down. It's this, that bitterness and jealousy are two great calling killers. Bitterness and jealousy are two great calling killers. See, what happens is they creep into our hearts. When we decide, like Miriam, that what we have, what we're called to, isn't enough for us, and we want what someone else has instead. We've decided it's not good enough for us, and I want that thing instead. And here's the thing, is that bitterness and jealousy will actually minimize your call and maximize someone else's call way beyond what it actually is. But because it's this thing that we've seen and we want it, it becomes this big thing. It's like they almost create this romantic notion of what it might be like to be that person, to be the person who has a greater status than us, who we think is more talented than us, and I want their talents, who is maybe the boss who's doing a bad job and you think he could be doing a better job. Whatever it is, it's this romantic notion that gets created because of the jealousy and bitterness that can come from wanting something that isn't ours. And the thing that we don't often realize when we get into these spaces is that quite often the other person is actually doing what Moses is doing right now. Moses is actually praying for God to take the burden of leadership away from him because it's too much. If you read a bit before Exodus 15 there, or Numbers, sorry, the people have come to him and they're complaining, and Miriam and Aaron are complaining as well. And Moses is like, I don't want to do this anymore, God. Yet here is Miriam. And her problem is that she wants to be like Moses. She wants his status, his relationship with God. And she only sees the glamour of the life that he leads. It does say there that God speaks to Miriam and Aaron as well. God speaks through them. But Miriam compared herself to Moses and decided that her situation was lacking. She's trapped herself in a spiral of her own jealousy and bitterness. See, here's the second thing that we can learn. It's don't try and be like someone else. Just be who you're called to be. A really crass way of saying that might be just stay in your lane. See, what does God want for you? Christine Kane, she's an author and a speaker. She posted this on social media this week, and I thought this would be really good for us to hear. She said, you have one life. Don't spend it scrolling through someone else's. Don't spend it wishing you had someone else's. Don't spend it comparing it with someone else's, competing with someone else's, talking about someone else's, recounting your mistakes. Don't spend it rehearsing your failures. Don't spend it focusing on your limitations or living in regret. Don't spend it paralyzed by fear. Don't spend it listening to the naysayers. Don't spend it living purposelessly. Live it. You have one life. I think we can all probably relate to Miriam a bit, in that we've all experienced a bit of jealousy in our lives. We've all wanted some quality that someone else has, or maybe some special relationship that someone else has. And we've said, I wish I could be like you. I wish, like, you're so confident. I wish I could be confident. You're so brave. I wish that I could be that brave. You're so talented, or I'm never going to be like you. We've all had those feelings of jealousy, haven't we? But you know what? The more that we try and be like other people, the further away we're going to get from God and what he wants for us, and the more room there is for bitterness and jealousy to grow in our hearts and in our souls. See, we forget about what we do have. And we focus on that thing. We want to go after that. So don't try and be like someone else. Just be who you're called to be. Don't concern yourself with others and what they're good at, what they're gifted at. The fact of the matter is, actually, that Miriam could never be like Moses. She never could. She had her own gifts. She wasn't chosen like him. She wasn't gifted in the same way, but she did have her own gifts, which she foolishly threw away because she wanted to be like Moses. So what do we do when we notice that our heart and our soul might be becoming a bit bitter and jealousy starts to creep in? See, I'm not going to tell you who you're called to be today because I think that's between you and God. But what I can tell you is that there are things that we can do when this bitterness and jealousy comes into our hearts. And we can start by looking at who we're basing our lives on. Take a look at who you're basing your life on. Who or what have you been modeling your life on? Whose life have you been wishing your life was more like? Perhaps a favorite preacher. One of your friends who's really successful, somebody whose life has made a really big impact on yours. Do you know what? These are all good things, by the way. We are free to admire people. But you actually aren't called to be those people. Only they are. You are called to be you. You are called to be you. So first of all, we can look at who are we modeling our life on. Look at who you're basing your life on. And the second thing is this, is check your heart. Do a little heart check. You know, just because God isn't speaking to you in the same way that he's speaking to someone else doesn't mean that he's not speaking. You just might be looking for it to be the same, to look the same, which it may not be. It might be different. See, in order for you to be who you're called to be, you need to find your own pathways to God. You need to find your own way to him. You can't live vicariously through somebody else's experience because that's fake. Because God wants better for you than that. And it's the same with the gifts and the abilities and the talents that you've been given. If you're looking for them to be or look the same as somebody else's, or if you're trying to make them look that way, they're not going to. And that, my friends, is a very, very good thing. It would be so awful if there were hundreds of me, hundreds of Jesses in the world. Like, it would just be so bad for everybody. But what's beautiful is that we all get to be our own selves and bring our own gifts together. And God uses those together in a mighty way. And just because your gift doesn't look the same as someone else's doesn't mean that it's not valid, doesn't mean that it's not useful, or that you don't matter, because you absolutely do. And the last thing is this, remind yourself of what you already have. See, this is the thing when we're looking to someone else, when we're looking at their massive gift, which seems so much bigger than ours, we forget who we are. We forget what we have. So remind yourself of your calling and your purpose and who you are in God, who God says that you are. Focus on what you do have and be grateful for it, because you know what? Gratitude brings healing to a bitter heart. It brings healing and hope again. So, friends, let's not let jealousy or bitterness ruin what we've been given. Perhaps as you're joining us today, as you're sitting there, whatever you're doing, maybe this is something that you've thought about that you're not sure maybe what God is calling you to. You're not sure where you sit Maybe something that you've struggled with is a bit of jealousy and some bitterness towards some people because they have something that you have decided you don't have. I would like to pray for you. First of all, that God would show you who it is you're called to be, would show you more about yourself, and also that God would bring healing into hearts that have become a little bit bitter. Let's pray together. Father, for anyone who's joining us today who feels unsure about what their calling could be, who feels like, who maybe feels like they're not gifted in any way, Lord, would you show them what your gifting in their life is? Holy Spirit, take them on a journey where you just reveal to them, Father, what they already have. And give them, Lord, the peace and the guidance that they need to find that out. But God, would you be close especially to those people right now? Lord, this is how we work out who we are in relationship with you. And I pray, Lord, for anyone who needs to still work that out, who feels like this is something that they would love to know more about, Lord, would you reveal that to them? And for anyone who has experienced some jealousy or bitterness, for hearts that have become hard towards maybe specific people or towards their own circumstances, Father, would you remind each person of what they have? And Lord, just bring gratitude into those hearts and begin to bring healing, I pray. Lord, we don't want to be people whose bad feelings like jealousy or bitterness rule our lives, God, because we know that when we do that, they ruin our lives. But we want to be people who live in gratitude, who love you, God, and whose lives are to serve you. So I pray for anyone who's listening today, for either of those two things specifically. Lord, Holy Spirit, would you touch them, give them what they need right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.